You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network. On BingeMedia.net. And now, a BingeCast commentary.
Welcome to another BingeCast movie commentary, only on BingeMedia.net. I am Pete Setnick, and I'm here with Alex and Sierra. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, buddy?
I can hear you talking.
Good to see you.
It's good to have you on this special. That's special because it's the movie special and you're special. And
oh, wow. Thanks.
Yeah, Sing Street. This is we've been a couple days trying to get this scheduled and finally nailed on a day. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm super excited, man. And it's a movie, and we'll talk about it. But like it was one of the more recent movies that I've seen over the last couple of years that it just like immediately grabbed me. Okay. And I just like fell in love with the movie, and it's only strengthened the more times that I watched it. So
yeah. So I did a revisit this week. I did some soundtrack re-listens.
Oh, yeah, I did the soundtrack. Yeah,
so great. But if everyone wants to queue up with us, we are at 1 minute. But if you don't have all the production companies in the beginning, we are at the last production company logo. It's Irish Film Board. It's the last one before the movie actually starts. So once you get there, we will do a 3, 2, 1, go. And on go, we'll all hit play and talk about Sing Street while we drink.
Oh, I can't wait.
Everyone get your drinks. Not while you're driving, though. If you're driving, just listen to the show.
Yeah, don't drink and drive. Don't be an asshole.
Unless it's water, then you can drink.
No, fuck that. Don't even hydrate.
Throw that bottle out the window. Well, no, don't throw it out the window. You may hurt someone.
Actually, you know what? You should fast for the next hour and a half while we do this commentary. No drinking, no eating.
Nothing. You can pee your pants. That's about it. All right, ready to go?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But right. Look, we're gonna keep on going back and forth.
I know.
Because I will.
No, yeah. That's the binge cast, not a commentary.
Oh, right.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna do a 3, 2, 1, go. On go, we're gonna hit play. All right. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah.
All right. I have my volume up a hair, so you know, because this is a musical.
Type of movie,
so I won't. Oh, look at that. Look at that production company, huh?
Hold on. Yeah.
Get out of here.
White stink company.
Now, I want to say that I watched this movie because of either yours or Jim Law's review. I think. I'm pretty sure. I mean, there's no other way I would have heard about this movie if it wasn't for a BingeCast episode. So.
Yeah. Law actually liked it quite a bit, too.
Yeah.
And it's something that I didn't think he would. Law's not somebody I would consider a music guy, but he likes a good story. And I think this being based in the 80s, you know, it struck a chord with him.
Yeah, when you're 40, because he was, when you're 40, yeah, when he's in his 80s.
Oh, God damn it. That's where I was going.
Sorry. You want to take the joke again? Go.
I don't know about you, but what year has this come out? 2016? Yeah, 2016. Favorite movie of the year?
26. Yeah, me too, man.
Yeah, this was my favorite movie of that year.
Yeah, so this debuted, I have some facts here, debuted in Sundance January 24th, and then it was like South by Southwest March 11th. So we're kind of at like the four-year release of this movie, the four-year anniversary. So
that's so crazy. I swear it was like yesterday.
Right?
Not the movie yesterday. It was just like yesterday, the day before today.
Oh, the movie.
Yesterday. Great movie, too.
This. I don't know where I was going. I just got immersed into the movie.
I know.
The motion picture just now.
The motion picture show, yeah.
The brother is fantastic. A character that they really could have made him be like the older douche brother and making fun of the younger brother for playing music and stuff like that. But it's a great character.
Yeah, he turns out to be like his biggest inspiration.
Absolutely.
Oh, fuck. God damn it.
Like, ignore mom and dad. They're not helping the family out right now. Work on the music. Here are some bands to listen to that influence you to write the songs you need. You know, like, he's just there. He's a, like, the best older brother in, like, any movie, I think. So is this like high school or is this like middle school?
I think it's high school. It seems like he's a fresh. He's going into like freshman year or something.
Yeah. Is my TV too loud?
No, okay. No, it's good. I'm going to turn it up a little bit.
Yeah. Did you go to private school? Did you go to private school?
Nope, public school for this guy, and I think that's no more apparent than when I talk on a podcast.
Yep. I don't know those producers.
Mm-mm. I mean, there's some really great character arcs in this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of them, Bug in the background. Hold on 1 second.
It's okay. So if you're not watching this and just listening, the Sing Street title card just came up. Just getting the establishment of the school.
Oh, yeah. So there's some really great character arcs in this. Yeah. Of course, the main character, he's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But one of the things I was thinking about this while listening to the soundtrack, one of the things I really love about this movie, I think Yesterday has a bit of that. And that, I forget, Blinded by the Light, the Springsteen movie.
Didn't see that.
I like this new trend of like there's conflict with the main character.
Okay.
But it's not like super serious though. You know what I mean? It still keeps it light, but the conflict is there, but it's still like super light though.
Like it's just like his parents going through a divorce, right? At the end of the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this kid, you know, he's not getting the shit beat out of him or anything like that. You know, it's not like really, really serious.
No, yeah, it's not like a heavy situation that he's in.
Totally. And I think just to go back to your point about how great the brother is, that could be a character that easily, like you said, could be like the older brother bully kind of type of character.
Like he's the jock and he's making fun of him because of the music type thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But that's a great, I love that character so much.
Mm-hmm.
I like the little spot that's missed on the back of his head this year.
Yeah.
He's like trying to be a skinhead and he obviously shaved his own head and he just failed at it.
Totally.
I love, we'll get there, but all the songs in this movie, and you could just feel a testament to the writer. I don't know if it was one writer who wrote all the songs for the band Sing Street, but the influences the older brother gives to Connor, it's like a mirror image of like that band. So like every song is like one sounds like Joe Jackson, the other one sounds like The Cure.
Yeah, and the Hall & Oates song.
Yeah, like it was great writing on that part.
I mean, I hope people pick that up because it, like you, like it's one of my favorite parts of the movie too. Is like how that's written and how John Carney like puts that off. You know, he wrote the screenplay. It's based off a story from Simon Carmody.
Yes.
Simon Carmody, Simon Carmody. Oh, it's the only thing he's done, it looks like. But, Carney does that really well with all of his movies.
Yeah.
But in terms of incorporating the music where it doesn't seem all that forced, I mean, I guess Once you can kind of put that over. But,
I haven't seen Once.
Yeah. The one thing I really like about it is.
Tell me one thing.
Okay. About. For Once, it's like how raw it is, because I'm pretty sure that's his first movie And like, it's literally just like handheld camera on the streets of Ireland.
Okay.
I don't remember the city. It might be Dublin. But it's very raw and like in the moment. That's probably its greatest strength.
You recommend it?
I do. Okay. Just to see, like, I'm a fan of this guy's work. So just to see, like, how it started and where he came from is really, really fucking cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in that. One of my friends loved that movie so much. He just, like, just kept talking about it and talking about it. Kind of like me with, you know, Cheer and our other listener, Eddie, with that UFC TV show. He was, like, really pushing it down my throat to watch once, and I got turned off.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, I think it's worth it. It's a good, it's a good date movie with the wife.
He looks.
I mean, it's.
No, I was just gonna say Seth Rogen a little bit in some shots.
He really does. He's got his fucking hobo gloves on.
Well, they're obviously not paying the bills. No one's making money over here to keep that heat on.
Mm-mm. Just starts as little seed.
That was it.
Little seed in his head.
Were you in a band, not like with your friends in high school or anything?
No. Actually, the first people I ever jammed with was my senior year of high school,
mm-hmm.
and there was an ad in my piano class. For a guitar player. It was like the first people I jammed with, and this kid was like a sophomore.
Oh,
and it felt like a fucking old piece of shit. It's like, what am I doing hanging around with sophomores? Ugh.
And now he's famous. No, I'm kidding.
He probably is.
Selling gold records.
I think his name was like Perry or something like that. Fucking Perry. Pharrell.
From Jane's Addiction. Right? Dude, you could have been in that.
They just show me up. God damn it. No, he got another Mexican. He got fucking Dave Navarro for that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the first time, senior year of high school.
Do you remember what songs you guys jammed?
I'm pretty sure it was like Nirvana songs, absolutely Green Day right. songs.
That's
like three chords. I think I could do that, but I can't sing at the same time. So get a singer or get another guitar player and I'll sing.
Just let me just do rhythm, please. Man, this school is like shit show.
It's like jail, isn't it?
That's what it feels like. And you assume like private school is folded hands and
mm-hmm.
manners.
Yeah. This little fucking Bill Burr looking motherfucker.
How does he get to wear that green jacket though?
I don't know.
And this guy's getting shit for brown shoes. Nobody's even, like, high-fiving that skinhead. Like, nobody wants anything to do with that kid.
No, they hate that kid.
We find out later, like, he is a loner. And he's got a bad home life. And he's just trying to find a crew.
See, he takes one in the eye and, like, doesn't cry about it. It's just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck my goddamn circumstances. I'm gonna write about this one day.
I like this little kid. Business solutions.
This guy rules. Just call around.
Yeah, he'll find me. There's no number on it. Now, this girl, she's fantastic in this movie, but she was in Bohemian Rhapsody, and I believe she is dating... Remy Malek. I think they are an item.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's great in this, though.
Yeah, she's really good. She almost looks like Firuza Balk there.
Yeah, right?
But less vampire-y. Less crafty.
less dirty.
Yeah. My favorite Firuza Balk quote from any movie is the water boy.
Uh-huh.
where she's like, Bobby Boucher, you ain't even a man.
I love. All right, so this is another spark in the fire here. He's got no band. He's lying. You want to be in a music video?
Yeah.
This is how why the band forms. Because he likes this girl and he has to start a band.
It's a huge reason why like 90% of people pick up a guitar in the first place.
Yeah, it's like I want to show like, off.
Yeah, pick up a guitar or be in a band or start music.
I love his when he turns around and goes to the redhead and he's like, we gotta form a band or we gotta find musicians in his face. He's like, oh fuck. But he's also excited about it. So she's like in like, what is she in? Like a foster home or orphanage or something? Is that where she's living with all the girls? Some kind of like.
Oh, yeah. Some kind of like girls' home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't there like a nun there?
Something like that.
Is it? Yeah. Is it like a church thing maybe?
I don't know. It could be. I mean. But it's funny that she's a liar too. She's not a model. Right? She's not, because she wouldn't show up to this music video. Like, she needs something to do too. Right here. That's so great.
Yeah, this is such a good soundtrack too. Like, it just keeps the movie moving and everything.
Even this is like the instrumental version of like the song later on, A Beautiful Sea, and it just plays so well in the background by itself. I love this kid. He's
I love that his name is Eamon and it's actually Ammon. My fucking favorite part of this movie.
It's so great. Now I think this kid is in like a band, like a rock band in like wherever he's from.
In Ireland?
Somewhere. This is funny. He's kind of like a Napoleon Dynamite character.
Yeah. I mean, how great is this? You show up and there's like a full band instruments.
Right?
You got a full kit. You got fucking keys. You got a bass. You got a guitar. You got all these mics. Fucking amazing.
Yeah. He says his dad... He says covers band, right?
Says, so
it's plural. Yeah. Where we say it here, it's a cover band.
Mm-hmm.
So he says covers. Yeah. Covers.
They're
band.
Stupid.
That's what it is. Saying. That's not what I'm saying.
I am. I'm saying they're stupid.
I just kind of like how he's sitting in that chair, shoulders like real high up. Like he knows he's out of place.
Yeah, totally.
And he doesn't want to overstep his...
Just fucking lying.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't he say James Taylor when he's talking about John Taylor? He's like, yeah, James Taylor. Great guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
Duran Duran. Yeah, right? Let me see. Does he say James Taylor? Same line. James Taylor. So it's the same line like his brother fed to him when they were watching the video, but
he totally
said the name.
And that's like the first thing that he takes from his brother and just puts out there, right?
Yeah.
He just does it with all the rest of the music and everything. It's fucking awesome. God damn it.
And his brother...
He's like an Ammon / Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah! Shia Gilbert.
Ammon LaBeouf.
Yeah, that one too. The mom is so funny. This is probably my mom when sitting around with my band back in high school.
Oh, Franny? Oh, just making sure everyone has snacks and tea and shit?
Snacks and just being like, oh, God, get a job. Yeah. That's what she's saying. I'll let you do this band thing for the summer, but come school. You're not doing shit. Look at that dungaree outfit she's got on.
Yeah, what is that?
Ha ha ha! love his delivery there. Well, we're not going to get any peace in here. Because Moffat and all the rabbit shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not rabbit shit, like poop, like all the rabbit discussions. That's a very Napoleon type thing.
The rabbit?
Like a rabbit bit. Rabbit?
I got Jesus.
Oh my God. This little kid's like Ammon, though.
Yeah, he kind of is.
The little guy. Even the song is like Napoleon. Like that synth.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
That's a funny joke. Nigig. Look at that apartment.
I love that portrait right next to
the of him. It's the same like shot too. And he's almost lined up perfectly. When they cut back to it. Like in that No, not anymore. Now it's a little bit more close up. That's funny.
Futurist band.
There you go. There you look at seeing your.
Yep, that was me.
Seeing your flyer.
You're gonna bring over my Washburn Lion Fender Strat model, which I still have to this day.
The kid on the right looks like he's like 45. The rabbits. I just love them.
Oh, I just love them.
Such a great. He's fantastic. He was in real quick. Overlord. That.
The
that bad robot. German. World War II. Kind of zombie type movie. He was like on the plane, getting deployed over there. But I think he dies like before they even land. They're
pretty quick.
Yeah, he's like on the plane. That's it. I love this soundtrack so much. Like, obviously, the songs that they write. Like, Drive It Like You Stole It, Beautiful Sea. Oh, it's, everything's so good. Look at this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's ripping it on that bass.
Yeah, up and down, slab at a bass.
You know how loud it would be in there? It's so loud in there.
Zero pads on his drums. Come on.
He's a little flat singing this.
Well, if they don't get it together, they'll all be flat.
Hey!
Yeah, what?
Love the Goonies.
Goons.
Let's watch that.
All right. See, he's just got to let it out.
Yeah.
Just got to go for it.
Here she is, playing with her lightsaber. Oh, no, it's not a lightsaber.
No, it's definitely not a lightsaber. Why? It's so hilarious. She's like, my son is occupied, which is great because then I can beat off. But there's six, like, boys in there.
Yeah, she could pick one of them. Wait, is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Oh, yeah, she could use one of them. No. No. Well, obviously she's going to know if when they're done. You know, the music stops.
Yeah. When the music stops, everything stops.
Yeah. I love this kid's room, right? I just love that he has, like, these cushioned sitting chairs,
mm-hmm.
right, with the albums, right? He has, like, his own little library listening session.
Yeah.
But I would be in these rooms, like, I kind of like the idea of this room, but I would be in these rooms, like, in high school, after school. And I didn't like being in there. They would just like smoke it out too much, and I was just I'm very uncomfortable in here. Like I like the idea now of having it, making it neat, but not have smoke in there. And it's kind of like my basement, I guess. But instead of vinyls, I have stupid DVDs.
Fucking DVDs. I was at an antique shop. That's right, an antique shop. And it was just lined with DVDs.
No way.
Yep. Like, nope. That's starting all over again.
If you didn't want to get that Big Daddy DVD that every shelf has.
Come on, bro. I still got it from fucking 2002, whenever that movie came out.
Look at the rabbit behind his head. It's stuffed. And the on the right side of the
Jesus.
Window.
You're right. I never paid attention to how many fucking rabbits are in this guy's crib.
He just loves them. I just love them. Congas. He's in love, right? Already, right? He's like head over heels for this girl.
Mm-hmm. Dun, 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 dun. Head over heels starts playing.
Nice. We should write a song about kids trying to be in a band in high school.
It gets creepier the older we get. We're already 40. Let's slow down.
I feel like they do a great job of creating a song from scratch in this movie, where I feel like it could have been so stupid. Because it's a fine line of like making it believable, because you know it's been like pre-recorded a gazillion times. These kids have heard it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a tough thing to pretend you're. That's like asking you to pretend you're working and writing on like Careless Whisper or something. Like pretend you're inventing it right now. Like it's hard.
Yeah.
This movie does a good job at that. He's like this movie, these two characters, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Explorers from the 80s, but it's young River Phoenix, young Ethan Hawke, and these two just remind me of Ethan Hawke and River Phoenix in that movie, because you got like the really geeky nerd and then like the cool front man.
Yeah, totally.
Explorers, I love that movie. Got the vacuum. You think she remembers him? Right there? Oh, yeah, she does. Yeah. She didn't even fucking care. Well, I guess when you're all dressed the same in that high school, they all kind of fucking blend together.
Mm-hmm. Look at the nice fucking choker she has. Has three crosses. She loves crosses the way fucking Ammon loves rabbits.
Ammon Gilbert. That comes. Oh, yeah, that's in the song. Riddle of the Model. The Riddle of the Model.
Riddle of the Model.
You still play guitar?
What's that?
What are you just laughing at?
Because he's like, oh, it's not you. It's another model I know.
Oh, yeah.
He's so full of shit. I'm really into you, but, you know, whatever. I know a lot of models. Yeah. I'm fucking 14.
You're in the video. I just met you. You're a model, but it's not even about you. It's a, you know.
And she's older than him, right?
She's got to be. Like, maybe.
Who said she was like, I thought if he was like 14, 15, she was like maybe 17.
Yeah, like she's not much. I would say two and a half years. Their videos are amazing, by the way. I love them. Did you ever record a music video for any of your music endeavors?
No. No, I did. I recorded a music video for like a class project.
Okay.
It was for Song 2 by Blur.
Woohoo!
And then, like, I came up with all these different ideas of doing like woohoo.
Yeah.
So, like, I tied a string on the mailbox door.
Oh, no.
I did like a woohoo. I have to find, it's on an old hard drive. I have to fucking find it.
No, don't tell anyone about your video projects, because everyone's still waiting for this Boys to Men video that you speak of. Don't put any out there in the world.
I didn't say anything about a Boys to Men video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did.
It was just created out of nowhere.
I don't think so.
It reminds me, we were in Vegas. Boyz II Men was playing at, I think, like the Mirage or something. And there were only three of them.
Yeah, just like that tape of yours is a Mirage. It doesn't exist, dude.
And then we're like, "Is that would it be called Boyz III Men?" And my wife goes, "No, it wouldn't. It's not like it was Boyz IV Men before, because well, that's a different group."
I'm glad she shut it down that quick, because then it would have just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It would have been all night. Boyz VI Men?
Boyz... Men? This is his first step into changing his whole look.
Yeah.
He's got the popped collar, he's got the ascot. Fucking...
Look at his storyboards.
Yeah, they're pretty nice.
His boards, there was some shading there. It's way better storyboards than mine were for the Better Call Binge animated series. It was stick figures, and it just, some were blank.
Look, even Scorsese does story. He does his own storyboards, yeah. And they're fucking remedial as hell.
Have you seen...
Very simple.
You've seen images of them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There is on the special edition of Taxi Driver, which I still have. I have that on DVD.
Oh.
I think it might be the Criterion. I think I saved all my Criterions.
Don't
anyway,
brag about Criterions. Come on. Nobody wants that highbrow shit.
Yeah. There's the final sequence. If anybody remembers the end of that movie, there's an overhead shot after he's killed everybody. There's an overhead shot, and all of that is, and they parallel that. They cut back and forth between the actual movie and Scorsese's storyboards, like what it looked like.
And that's real bad.
It's horrible.
I love some of like behind the scenes of storyboards, and they just look like artworks that could be like in a museum. And I'm like, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Like Terry Gilliam's storyboards are like fucking really, really good. I mean, he's an artist himself.
Oh, though. He does it himself?
Yeah.
I love this song. Well, they obviously got real musicians, because you can tell the bass player's really playing, drummer.
Mm-hmm.
He knocks the tripod over. Look at this guy. He's like, I'm getting into the shot. I'm getting closer and closer to the lead singer. Look how close he is.
Look at how much Ammon's fucking pants are cuffed at the bottom, too.
Let me see.
The fucking blue paisley suit.
Look at the keyboard player. He loves it.
Look at him go.
Yeah. Doom, 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 doom.
Dude, they have a fucking electronic drum kit too.
Yeah, man. In the alleyway, no less. There's no electric there.
Do you find those hard to play on or no?
It's
I mean, I know you have like a traditional kit, but
it's easier to play on. Like you could play, like you could roll a lot faster, like around the drums because they're so bouncy.
Yeah. So oh, okay, gotcha.
It's a lot easier to make it sound like you're like doing fills fast and stuff.
And they're smaller heads, and they're closer together, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You just got to be careful, because if you don't hit it well enough, or, you know, where the trigger is, mm-hmm. the teeth, it may not get any sound from it. So it is tough, but you can play a lot faster.
Nice.
The riddle of the model. I love this show.
It was like... There was like a fucking 5-year period where I had my eye on an electronic drum kit. I'm like,
really?
And I was like, nah, fuck that. Like, I should learn how to play guitar first. Actually learn what scale is.
Yeah. What was the first song you learned on the guitar?
Polly by Nirvana.
Nirvana, man. What? I mean, they influenced like everyone in the 90s.
Absolutely,
play.
Man.
So crazy. She's sweet though to hang with him.
Yeah, she's sweet, but she's starting to like. I like this kid. He's got fucking balls.
Yeah,
it's like he goes for it.
Yeah. You got subs on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he was going for it. He was going for it. Look at this
fucking old dude. We all knew the hot chick who had like a fucking 25-year-old boyfriend in high school. I remember a girl, I had such a fucking crush on her. She had the nicest ass in like junior high, like 7th, 8th grade.
Yeah.
And I think freshman year, like we all went to the same school. And then freshman year, I also went to the same high school as her. But like then the whole gang splits up after junior high, right?
Yeah.
She started dating like this 24-year-old dude.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh and then she got pregnant in like a year later.
Oh, that was it.
Yeah, that was it.
That was the end. Oh, that's sad. But maybe they're happy together with their family. And the kid's 20-something now.
Yeah, probably not.
Okay.
They're definitely split up.
Okay.
It's weird. Yeah, that kid would be like 20. fucking God damn it. Jesus Christ. No, he'd be like 25. He'd be as old as his dad was when he fucking raped his mom.
He could be listening to the Binge cast. That's how old he is.
I hope he is. He just heard about it. He didn't hear it like me say fucking what town I grew up in or anything. Nothing. He was just like, I heard that someone had the nicest ass, and I know my mom had a nice ass back in the day.
Yeah, must and my be my dad mom. Is... 10 years older than my mom.
Oh, boy. I have that problem, too.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, well.
Well, not kids, but my wife is 10 years younger than me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's fine. Yeah. You guys met in she was in her 20s.
Yeah.
I think my mom was like fucking 14 or 15 when she met my dad. Real piece of shit behavior on both of their parts.
Jesus.
Fuck them both, Pete. How about that?
This isn't Alex Street. Sing Street, all right? We're doing this commentary.
Bin Street, bitch. I'm fucking frozen like fucking Elsa right now. I am.
On the screen?
I'm on the screen. You just keep going. I'll catch up with you in a bit.
Of course I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to tell everyone to pause. Hey, everyone. Pause and wait for us. All right. Let me know when you need a time. I have my display.
I will.
I love that the brother took time. He sat there and watched the music video where I came home to try to show my sister. Look what I did with my friends today. She'd be like, get out of my room. Not being like... she
how much older is she?
She's like 2.5 years older than me. So she was like way cooler than me. I was like the dorky younger brother. I remember like her eighth grade party. Nirvana was like
they played there. Jesus, Kurt. Well, your sister knew a lot of people, but Jesus Christ,
Kurt was there.
right, what's your runtime?
Okay, 37:23. 37,
25,
26, 27. All right,
I'm there.
Okay. Look at the rabbit behind him. Oh. I love all the rabbits.
My fucking subs disappeared too. God damn it. This is a fucking...
Substreet?
Substreet. Oh, threw out a capo and everything.
Look at this guy. Yeah, so right all her... Shit. My sister knew a lot about... knew all the new music before I did. So she would like bring stuff to me. Like, oh, you got to listen to this band, Nirvana. You got to listen to this band, you know, She would bring like the new stuff to me, where my dad was like feeding me Beatles,
the older stuff,
Beatles, yeah. Paul Simon, Joe Jackson. So I kind of got like a decent amount of influences from my my sister and my dad, which helped.
That's awesome. Like my dad, I mean, I think I've talked about it on the cast before. Oh, I really like the song. Which song is this?
The name.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I think I mentioned it on the podcast before, but like my dad was a drummer.
Uh-huh.
And so like a lot of my musical upbringing was like from him. Like my musical influences came from him.
Yeah.
And then like I have two older brothers, one who I only met once, and then my brother Chris is like 3 years older than me.
Okay.
And
oh, this song's Up. This song's called Up.
Oh wait, this isn't the song I was singing. It's a good song.
Yeah.
But my brother Chris, like he was into shit that I was not into. Like he was into like R&B.
Okay.
And like not even some rap. It was like mostly R&B.
Okay. So and then Boyz II Men, that's out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like fucking Johnny Gill and like New Edition and shit.
Yeah.
And like I was into like fucking NWA like in fifth grade. Mm-hmm. That was like my shit. And then like eventually Nirvana and all the grunge stuff. But like I didn't have a musical mentor as far as that goes. Like my dad wound up getting into grunge.
Yeah.
Like he always was like into like newer like rock stuff.
That's cool. Yeah, my dad never like went to the new stuff.
He didn't. He just stayed behind, huh?
Stayed
in his like era.
Yeah, it was like Van Morrison, Dire Straits. It was more of like the big guitar guys. I think the newest band, like when I was growing up, the newest band that he like really loved was like the Brian Setzer Orchestra. I remember him going crazy.
Oh yeah.
When they came out, and I think and that they were was East like Coast the newest
guys too.
Yeah, and I think that was like that's like the newest band that I remember him actually like gravitating towards.
Yeah. I think the last band.
Like, I'm going to go play with my vibrator now, boys. See ya.
Yeah. All right, here you go. Don't smell those cups.
Don't smell my hands as I put them on your face.
I think the last like artist my dad was into, because he was a big guitar too, was like Kenny Wayne Shepherd, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh, you know what my dad liked? The Los Lonely Boys song.
Oh, yeah.
What was it? Mm-hmm. Something from Heaven or something?
Yeah.
He loved that tune. There's always like one tune a year that he's like, oh my God, best song ever. I'm like, calm down, Dad. Calm down. That is amazing. He's like an artist.
That's pretty goddamn good.
There's no way he drew that. Well, you know what? His storyboards are phenomenal. We've already mentioned that. So he can draw.
That's true. That's true.
God damn it. John
He's Carter. Finding his way.
Look at that hair.
Ugh, look at this fucking his goddamn blue eye mask. I don't know what it's called.
Eyeshadow. Brother Baxter.
Yeah, I remember my brother went to the military when I was like 15. So he was like 18 or 19. Yeah, he was like, no, he was even like, he had to sign a waiver because he was 17.
Okay.
Like my mom had to sign a waiver. He's like, get this motherfucker out of here.
Jesus.
And like he came back like three or four years like a completely different person. But he found he was stationed in Okinawa. And he used to go to this bar. It was like American Rock or something. It was like super like literal fucking you know what you're getting into kind of bar.
Yeah.
And like all they would play was like American rock music.
Oh, okay.
So then he finally got into like Green Day, and he was a huge Oasis guy, too. I think that was at the English Rock Bar.
Nice.
English Rock Pub.
Now, he's trying to sexually assault this kid, right? That's what we're getting here?
What?
Yeah. No?
Is he going to diddle him? I thought he just had it out for him because he's like...
No, he wanted him to go into the bathroom with him right there.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
We don't need sexual assault in this movie. This is a very nice, simple movie.
Sex Street.
Yeah, well, exactly. Assault Street.
We know who produced this movie, so.
Yeah. See, like, what the fuck is this? Some weird power move.
Well, this kid is obviously rebelling. Brown shoes, makeup, highlighted hair, musician. just, but he's not like rebelling. He's not saying like fuck the establishment. Yeah. He's just trying to find his way as a person.
How do you do this to a kid, man? How the fuck do you feel okay doing that? Fucking piece of shit.
Well, people are still doing it these days, but I believe it's becoming less and less because everyone's getting scared because everyone's getting outed, which is a great thing because it shouldn't be done.
We might as well call that dude fucking Prince Weinstein. Priest Weinstein. I'm Prince. A fucking moron. Prince Weinstein? I'm a priest. What a shithead.
He's been through some shit, man. And look, she makes him so happy. But he forgot what the hell he just went through.
Yeah.
He doesn't even remember what happened.
Yeah, he's just like, no, nothing. It's all right.
Nothing, mate. I think the day he got, if I'm not mistaken, the day he got punched by the kid, he met her, right? So that was kind of like, whatever, blew it off. Like, she's saving him every day from a mental issue.
Yep, totally.
And that's what you want in life when you find someone that just
distracts you. You just forget about everything else.
Forget about all the bullshit, and you can go home to the one you love. And it mean the rest of the day means nothing. All that bullshit that you went through.
Unless you had a really amazing day and you're like, fuck, I gotta hang out with this bitch.
I gotta hang out with you? God. You mean I could have went out with the fellas tonight?
There's a few exes I could say that about. Like, fuck.
You're saying I could have went to the pub and watched the game with my boys, bro? Now I gotta sit here and watch the chef show with you?
Come on.
Come on, I can find better things, brah.
Did you watch the chef show, by the way?
Oh, it's so great. With my wife.
We missed a huge opportunity not going to Ray's
Roy's, God, place. Dude. You huge brought it up before we went out there.
I did.
I'm like, I think Alex said that this was on the list of things he wanted to do. I'm like, why the fuck did we not do this?
Dude, I didn't push for it. I was just like, let's do whatever. I was hot.
Well, yeah. Next time we'll go because that shop looked amazing. Shop, well, for intro shop and then the rest of it. But we did Hell's Kitchen, so
that's true. You,
oh my god, it's 2 o'clock on the edge of the morning.
So.
I love that the leaf falls there, and they just keep
going.
Talent, these two, huh? These kids.
That's a little thing that fucking directors love, too. When little shit comes up like that, and they just keep on going, it's like, oh,
and
that
you
was
know,
super spontaneous. It looks like it was, like, almost planted there.
Oh, leave it be. You know the director and every crew behind that camera probably felt chills when that leaf landed. They're like, oh my god, are they gonna stay in character? Are they gonna blow this steak?
Yeah.
Now this guy, he was in He was in the Mark Wahlberg Transformers, the first one. He was like Mark Wahlberg's daughter's boyfriend in that movie.
What did I see him?
That's what I remember him, man.
Oh, he was in Free Fire, that fucking shitty movie.
Oh, yeah.
He was pretty good in that.
He's in Midsommar. He was the boyfriend.
I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
I know.
Detroit. I did not see Detroit. I think that's with John Boyega.
John Boyega. Oh, Catherine Bigelow. Okay.
Delivery Man. That's the Vince Vaughn. Like, he had like a gazillion kids or some movie like that or something.
Oh, that was really bad.
All his sperm was everywhere.
His jizz was everywhere.
I think this guy's got a podcast too. This Jack Reiner.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he talks like
that. I don't know why I'm surprised. Everybody fucking has a podcast.
Oh, my God, everyone. Honestly, everyone does. And then I just think, what was the first show I ever listened to? And it was you guys.
Oh, Jesus.
I swear to God, you were before any of the shows that I'm listening. in listening to now? They're happy. Like you guys were podcasts.
I used to play the song at open mics.
Really?
Not as fast as this. I can't fucking do that.
Can you get your guitar? Can you get your guitar and play it at the end of this show?
Yeah, I'll fucking play it right now.
Really?
Shit, bro. Oh, wait. Oh, there it is.
All right. You keep cutting in and out. I think. It may be too loud. I think you're cutting in and out.
No, I was doing that on purpose.
Were you really?
It's a power move. You want to hear it? Fuck you. You're not here.
I love it. I love the power move. Everyone's waiting with bated breath.
I love this. Huge, huge Cure fan. One of my like top five bands of all time. Also, one of the worst concerts I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, it was one of those, like, don't meet your heroes things. Because I was such a huge Cure fan. And then in, like, say, like, 97 or 98.
Yeah.
A radio station did, like, a Christmas show. And they had all these fucking bands play. And they headlined. And they played must have been for 15 hours. But it was, like, the early Cure stuff is all, like, poppy. Like, really high tempo. Real bright stuff. Some sad stuff, but their radio stuff was like, you know, just really quick singles.
Yeah.
And then as they progressed, they progressed into like really dark and dirgy, like moody 8-minute songs.
Okay.
That just went on and on and on. And that's what they played. And I love that shit. You know, I was super emo as a fucking kid. More like goth. I was goth before I was emo, bro.
So goth.
I was super gothy. And I love listening to that shit at home by myself, but it was fucking like, is this ever going to end? They just played so long, and it was all the really depressing shit. I was like, fuck me, man.
Fuck you, Cure.
That was also where I was dating two girls at the same time. They were both there. I went with one girl, but I told the other girl I was going to meet up with her. And I was splitting my time between, but maybe it wasn't even the Cure. It's just the fact that I put so much pressure on myself. So I was with one girl, went there with one girl.
Yeah.
We're in our seats. And then I'll be like, I'm going to go get a beer. And I'd go sit with the other girl for a couple of songs. And I was doing that back and forth.
Dude, you are a player.
It was not. I'm not proud of that.
It sounded like you were.
No, I'm a fucking piece of shit. Oh, fucking piece of shit.
I love this song. I love all the songs, honestly.
Yeah.
I love all of them.
It's a great idea.
I want you to play another song later.
What?
I want you to play another song on the guitar. And that guitar is nowhere near me, or else I would have I would jam.
I have a guitar in every room, bro.
I have my Les Paul and my I hate guitar jargon. Anytime two guitar players get together and they just talk gear, they're gearheads.
Yeah, I am not a gearhead at all. Like I am so fucking ignorant when it comes to that shit.
It's disgusting. Every time,
I was just saying I really want to go like buy an amp.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even know what I'd be buying, and I don't want to look like an idiot.
Oh, okay.
I have fucking paying $300 more than I should when I'm just going to be jamming at home.
There's, like, drummers that come up to me, after, like, on breaks in my show and want to talk gear. And I go, did you see any movies recently?
Yeah.
Just, like, don't care. I don't care. What are your influences? I'm like Scorsese, J.J. Abrams.
That's awesome.
Just have no desire to talk music to anyone. I just know that I like music.
Mm.
I don't know why some songs hit me the way they do, right? It's kind of the same with movies, but it's I feel like it's a... with music, it's like you, I could listen to, let's say I hate Taylor Swift or something, like just because she's a pop star and whatever. But like, let's say there's like a song that comes on, like this isn't that bad. It, you never know what's going to hit you.
Yeah.
And what's going to like hit the heart or just get catch you at the right time. I guess it's kind of like a movie. If you watch like a shitty horror movie, you're like, oh man, I kind of needed that, or a shitty action movie. But with music, you could really hate the artist and then all of a sudden you hear something that they've done and you're like, that's not that bad. Maybe it's just the right time and place.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, I feel that way with movies. I feel that way with like classic movies, like from the like 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like those like really old classic movies.
But I feel like going back before I talk myself out of it.
Meaning I like some of those movies now, but I don't think I would have liked them. It's like in my 20s or whatever, in my teens.
Yeah, it's all like where you're at in life.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like with music, more so than movies, like you're not going in, you're not going to watch. Let me try to. I've been drinking, but let me try to get this out.
Say it.
Nobody really hates, like, I guess people sometimes hate an actor, but they'll go watch the movie because there's a lot of moving parts, right? You have like a director, maybe like a script writer, or maybe a secondary actor that you like in the movie, but you'll go see it or watch it, where like like you'll hate a band and never listen, like for no reason. Like I don't listen to the Jonas Brothers. I don't know any songs of theirs, so I assume that I don't like the Jonas Brothers, right? Like that's pretty much what you say with music. Like if someone asks you, do you like the Jonas Brothers, your automatic response is going to be like, I don't like the Jonas Brothers. Where it should be, you should say, I don't really know anything about it. I can't really say, right? Like that's like the right answer.
Yeah, I get that.
Do you get what I'm saying?
No, I totally understand what you're saying.
Like, I feel like music lovers are harsh and will hate stuff without giving anything a shot in a way.
Well, sound is such a specific sense.
Oh, yeah.
When you taste something bitter, unless you're like into that, like you'll just fucking get this the fuck away from me. With movies, you know you're sitting down. It's going to take a little time for the story to develop. So for me, like music, once I hear brass in a like punk, like third wave,
oh, you're ska,
like
you're
ska setting, that's immediately like nope. If I hear the first pow. From Dave Matthews, yeah. I'm fucking leaving the bar. I'll leave the bar.
I hate the trumpet. Like trumpet is the worst sounding instrument in my ears.
Oh, the trumpet and the fucking cornet. Like it's so ear piercing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What are you called again? The quiz. I guess they're allowed to say this, right? This is like the 80s, they're allowed to say.
Yeah.
That kid between the stairs and that railing, he's just sandwiched up. Well, look at that tall guy on the left, middle left. Go tall.
Why do they all have UK faces, too?
What you is know what UK I'm saying?
You know what I'm talking about.
You mean like a Slytherin face?
I think so, yeah. I think that's what I mean.
You fucker! I don't know. We got to ask our brethren from the UK, from across the pond. Why do you have UK face?
Why do you have such a UK face?
You probably say the same thing about us.
You and your stupid American faces.
Anyway. Getting back to our music/movie discussion.
Mm-hmm.
A lot like, I don't know. I just feel like it's a harsher medium music. Like anyone will go see a movie no matter what, right? It's a movie. But when it comes to music, it's almost like, let's say like the hardcore Tool or Rage Against the Machine fan. He's never going to tell you that he likes a Taylor Swift album or she like, you know, like it's, you don't crossbreed too much when you're hardcore like that. I don't know. I just know people like that where they're not going to cross genres because they're embarrassed.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that, because you could take somebody who's like hardcore horror aficionado. That's all he watches, fucking horror movies, slash movies, the B fucking movies that were like, you know, like the monster movies or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, they will go off the mark and watch other genres and just be like, you know what? Like, I actually love the fucking the Spice Girls movie or something, you know? Whereas the person who's like
Spice,
I don't know, because you could take a Kupka who's like a huge Tool fan and a huge, like, you know, metal fan, and you know, he's really into like, you know, like fucking cheesy 80s songs too.
Yeah,
like he's a huge Paula Abdul fan.
Loves Paula Abdul, right?
Yeah.
I think there's a video out there. He like CGI'd himself as the cat in that video where it's
makes
Kupka
sense.
And Paula Abdul in the Opposites Attract video, I think, is out there. Please, somebody make that. But like Kupka or Jack are like, well, Jack Moore, right? Huge, like, like Criterion Collection, going back to the classic, Citizen Kane, The Third Man, loves these movies. But yet, Marvel fanatic, Endgame, they cream all over, right?
Yeah.
So it's almost like he's, I don't know what my argument here is. I think I'm just saying that sometimes music snobs are worse. I feel like music snobs are worse than movie snobs.
I could agree with that. I could agree with that.
I don't know. Maybe it's just, it's easier to watch a movie than going to a concert.
I don't know. Well, maybe. Because the time commitment for watching a movie and listening to an album is like not even close. I mean, that's like 2-to-1 in terms of the amount of time.
Well, yeah, an album
is
like
a 2-hour movie.
Yeah,
between 30 minutes, 45 minutes to an hour. A lot of movies nowadays are, you know, the average is what? Hour and 45 to 2 hours?
Yeah. I mean, I'll admit to it, too. I don't give a lot of shit a chance. I'm like, one, I don't have time for this. Two, I don't think I'm going to like it, which is the key word, right? Like, I don't think I'm going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what I've heard so far. But.
Oh, by the way, during oh shit, sorry,
Jesus,
during our fucking discussion, I froze up again. So, what's your runtime?
Okay, 101:10.
Jesus,
101:15.
All right, I'm at
101:19:20.
Okay, I'm a little bit ahead of you, which is good.
Jesus, don't spoil it, please.
Oh, by the way, you know, we're listening to the soundtrack going to Michigan the other day. And we're listening to the song that was just on, Man Eater, by Hall & Oates. And, like, ever since I was a little kid, like, I couldn't remember not so much the first time I heard a Hall & Oates song, but, like, where I was, like, whenever the song came up.
Yeah.
I remember, and I was telling my wife this anecdote. I remember hearing Maneater for the first time, my dad was a huge Hall & Oates fan, and then listening, like, he would listen to it over and over again, and I remember, like, listening to the lyrics and being like, fuck, he's so right, fucking women, and then, like, around that time, I remember being, like, 8 or 9 years old, no, it's probably, like, 7 or 8,
Jesus.
Whatever you are in, like, third grade. I remember walking down the street, and this older boy, he had to be like 10, maybe 11.
Uh-huh.
He had obviously his dad's shirt on. It was fucking huge.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were just walking towards each other on the street, and we were passing each other, and on his shirt, it said, "Life's a bitch, and then you marry one." And in my fucking little head, I was like, that's fucking so true, too.
You just high-fived him.
I was like, oh, my God. I didn't know why I wanted to be an old, like, dude when I was a little kid. I wanted to be like old and just like done with it. It's like, fuck, that's so true. Life is a bitch. It is. And then you marry a bitch.
Oh, come on. Fuck. I wish my dad liked Hall & Oates when I was growing up. I never got that.
That's kind of surprising because I know you told me in the past, and you mentioned it earlier, like, he was into like Joe Jackson, though. I mean, that's not too far off.
I know. It's so close. He was huge Joe Jackson, huge Beatles.
Huge Joe Jackson.
Huge JJ. No, I remember like Sunday Papers was a huge song like I used to listen to. And then the Graceland Paul Simon album I used to listen religiously to. Like, there's something about that album that I loved so much.
Yeah.
And I just remember that I had like the lyrics in the CD booklet, and I would just read that thing front to back.
I'm totally surprised, speaking of Double J,
yeah,
that Steppin' Out hasn't made its way to a fucking sounder.
Oh. Wow.
There was an old like Sirius radio show that I used to listen to called Ron and Fez. They were actually on the East Coast. They're on WNEW. Okay. But when they were on Sirius, they had a caller named Andy call in, and his bit was if whatever they were talking about, whatever the subject was, he would call in and sing Steppin' Out, but with like different lyrics of like whatever subject they were talking about. It was so fucking funny.
That's definitely in a ton of movies. I feel like.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to look it up. I remember. Gonna read it in the Sunday papers.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a bad song, but that's how I remember it. Gonna read it in the Sunday papers. And then obviously, is she really going out
with him? Oh yeah, what were you saying? Because you watched this recently. So fucking Littlefinger from Game of Thrones. He's not working, right? He's on the dole. Is that what it is? He's on fucking unemployment.
Yeah, I think he got laid off.
He just sits around drinking and smoking cigarettes.
Who, that guy in the cardigan is from Game of Thrones?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, besides Sing Street for stepping out.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a lot of stuff, but I'm not sure if it's stuff that I've seen. So it's in like a Nip.
Did you look it up?
Nip Tuck episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's in. I said, oh man, Look Sharp. I remember that. Gotta look sharp, 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 sharp.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? Look Sharp.
Mm-mm.
Oh yeah, it's talking about going out and looking sharp.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing.
Yeah, not staying in. Going out.
Going out. Looking sharp.
Stepping Out is in Grand Theft Audio.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Mm-hmm.
It's also in the 80s show, which is a spinoff of the 70s show starring Glenn Howerton, Dennis from
It's
Always Sunny. This is another show, right?
What is the song, and is it a good song, that leads into Stepping Out on the album?
Oh, God.
Because when they played on the radio, it's fading out of a song, and then it fades into Stepping Out.
Look at you. Look at you. Joe Jackson, Stepping Out.
Joe Jackson, Stepping Out. Huge song.
Huge Jackson.
Was in the 80s show.
Okay, where am I? Oh, God. I'm never good at Googling. I'm like my mom.
Franny?
Yeah. She like Googles like Ask Jeeves is still a thing. Google, tell me how. Like she's typing that out. She types Google. She types out Google.
Oh, no. My wife does that. She definitely Googles Google a lot.
Google, tell me the radius of the Earth. Thank you. That's all typed. How are you
my
doing?
Wife asks like whole questions to Google. My wife would be like, it won't even just be the whole question. It'd be a follow up too. It'd be like, Google, was Dig a Pony on Let It Be. And if not, what album was it on?
Not like a conversation. I want two questions in one in one pose. This is a rough scene here. He just like admitted like he's kind of like nothing.
Yeah. So he's what, like early 20s, mid 20s?
He's got to be, yeah. Early 20s, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Steppin' Out was on Night and Day, right? The album Night and Day. And the song before it was called Target.
Do you know that one or no?
No, no.
Oh, fuck.
No.
It's all right.
No. We suck. We're terrible.
Would
we
not go that far.
We didn't prep for this.
It's all right. But most of the music, I was looking at this, most of the music was done with John Carney, the director, with a bunch of different people, obviously.
Yeah, and the last song is with, Adam Levine, I think, sang it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he wrote it. But...
Who that... shows up in my wife's movie, Begin Again. She's
That's
in that.
That's right.
Good movie, too. Another like music oriented fucking really great movie.
I saw that one. I didn't see one. I'm working my way backwards. I did Sing Street and then I did Begin Again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll do Once. Kind of like what I'm doing with Taika Waititi's films. I'm going
Taika
Waititi. There's fucking titties.
There's fucking Waikita titties. My favorite scene in the movie, I think. Like this one immediately got me. First watch.
This one, right? Like this, the rehearsal?
This whole scene, yeah. Because it just, it juxtaposed like what's going on with what's in his head, you know?
Yeah. Oh, so.
Where it just switches into like a fucking club.
Yeah.
And it's the song, too. It's the fucking.
This is what we opened with. Open the show with. Drive It Like You Stole It.
Drive like a thong.
I fucking love that title.
God damn it.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's got that fucking nice man heater, by the way. Man heater bass line. The driving bass line.
Yeah. And I think Back to the Future was they mentioned it earlier in the movie a little bit.
Okay. Right, yeah.
It's like,
Enchanted Under the Sea dance,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
Some great dancing back there, too.
The elbow snap.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The sway snap dance.
Yeah, and then in Blinded by the Light, there's a lot of Carlton dancing. Because that was Bruce Springsteen's, yeah.
I think they're wearing the same, let me see, Back to the Future, Under the Sea.
Well, yeah, he's wearing a red...
Oh, no, they're not.
He's wearing a red suit.
I thought they were wearing that. They're wearing, like, gray in Back to the Future. They're wearing, like, gray suits. Oh.
Fucking blesses him. That's funny. And then fucking his parents show up and shit. Yeah. It's fucking great. I love this.
Wait, isn't McFly in the white suit jacket?
Hey, you.
The dad?
Put your goddamn hands off her.
Yeah. Is she in green too? Now this is
no. All... I think she's more in like a fucking mauve or something. No, it's a lighter color. It's not green.
Salmon. Well, he's in white. The right? The dad? Yeah, he's in white. Oh yeah, she's in a salmon. Salmon color.
Salmon.
Seth Rogen, what's up, bro? Oh yeah, this is like beat it. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, where's Eddie V on that shit?
Eddie Vedder?
Huh?
Eddie Vedder?
Oh, sorry, Eddie VH. Oh wait, he was in that. It was Slash, right? Who did the fucking solo on Beat
that
It?
Was Slash on Beat It.
It was Slash. Okay.
Mm-hmm. He got a haircut.
Yeah, he did.
This is awesome.
Dude, I fucking love this scene so much.
Oh, God.
Because, like, when you're a little kid and when you, you know, you're jamming, this is what's going on in your head. You know, yeah, like, you you're fucking, you, your
every
girl.
Every gig is the biggest gig ever.
It's the biggest gig ever, and your girl shows up, or the girl that you really want, and she's like, oh, my God, he's singing, he's playing. Your parents show up, and they're proud of you. Your brother shows up and fucking beats up the guy who's trying to stab you.
That's it, recognition. I want my parents to be proud. I want the girl to like me. I mm-hmm. want the school to love me. I want the priest of the school to give me the okay of what I've been doing is fine.
Yeah.
But no, none of it.
What if she said, I'm sorry, fellas, you're just too loud?
Huey Lewis?
Just do a comment. Oh, we did already. Fuck.
We did. One and two. The only thing you guys haven't done is three.
Trey?
Yeah. You seen three?
I have. Mm. Yeah. I've made some amends with that trilogy. And I was like, oh, why did I think this was horrible? Oh, that's right, because it is.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, was at the bar the other day was Karate Kid 2, and we're all sitting around talking about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I remember we did the movie homework. Not movie homework. The retrospective, me, Garrett, and Nate P.
Okay.
Karate Kid 2, same exact movie as Karate Kid,
mm-hmm.
the original. And then the third, same fucking thing. It's amazing that they just... I know it's like a common thing. It's like, well, they just remake the same. They just do the same movie. No, but like every beat is the same.
Yeah.
Like the lines are the same. It's really fucking annoying. Oh, and God. That's how the Back to the Future 3 was.
Wait, they go back in time?
Back in time.
By the way, I should have brought this up earlier.
By the way.
Sing Street is coming to Broadway in New York.
Really?
March 26th. So if it's still, if you come to New Jersey or anyone, I'd like to go see this.
With you.
Please, somebody.
Let's raffle off some tickets so you
please,
can.
Please, somebody.
Sing Street on Broadway with PWC.
Like our page and subscribe to win tickets to sing. No, sorry, we don't have any. We have no tickets.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, look at that.
So I did a revisit of this week, but I stopped before the auditorium scene. So This is all new to me since the last time I watched it. I love this acoustic version.
Yeah, totally agree. These scenes, it remind me of this really great fucking independent movie called Submarine. Came out about 10
okay.
years ago. You know which one I'm talking about?
I like never saw it, but I know the fucking the album cover.
The cover, right?
The cover of the kid, like real yeah. close up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's really good. It's very similar to this in terms of like the kid wants the girl's affection, stuff like that. But it's like it's super moody. I think it's based in Scotland, if I'm... not mistaken.
Welsh?
And,
Welsh, yeah.
Oh, well, Wales, yeah, okay. And what's his name? Alex Turner from the Arctic Monkeys. He does the soundtrack for it. And it's
oh,
all like
really?
Fucking really great acoustic, like kind of troubadour kind of music. It's fucking awesome.
Cool, man. I'll check that one out. What do you prefer, Submarine or Once?
Oh, good question. Fuck.
Like, if I had to watch one tonight, which one am I throwing on?
I don't know. Like, everything is through a PWC filter. I just think
no,
you're going to hate everything.
You know what?
I think you're going to hate everything.
Law said on the latest binge cast that my finger is on the tap out button at all times. It's not, man. I give everything a fair shot. It's just
no, you don't?
No, I absolutely do. I just don't give things timely shot. that's
ridiculous.
A huge difference.
A fair shot is giving it a timely shot.
No, it's not. No.
Shoot your shot.
No. If okay. you don't deliver in the first pilot episode of a television show, then you're getting the fucking tap out.
I think if you were going to watch Once or Submarine after this.
Don't stress. I'm not going to put it on. It was.
No, I know. I think Submarine.
Okay.
I think Submarine. It's just a little bit more polished. It's a little bit more of like a complete movie, like there's an actual narrative, and it's not just two people who are like, we're street musicians. Oh, damn, we're falling in love. No, you know what I mean? Like that
okay,
kind of thing.
Okay.
And I like I'm a huge Arctic Monkeys fan. So
yeah, me too.
And Alex Turner, I think is like,
I'm a bigger fan.
Oh, okay. How many times have you seen him then? Okay. But how about that?
Like on YouTube, like a lot. I watched all their I watched all their phone footage on YouTube.
Do you watch all their fucking videos on their channel?
I subscribe.
Oh, that's nice. I've seen all their Vimeos.
Vimeos. I even sit through the ads, bro. I don't even skip the ads because I know that they can see that.
That the money's going right in their pocket. That's how I feel.
You skip ads, bro? I bet you skip.
You skip ads like you skip leg day, you fucking
leg day. Is that what you said? What?
Huh?
Leg day.
I don't know.
It's fantastic. Fitness is so funny. It's a funny word to me. Fitness.
Fitness.
It's just. It's so funny. Amen.
Amen. This is good shit right here. I'm gonna turn this up a little bit.
Yeah, good. Please. This is an acoustic version of
Oh, he doesn't cheat with Destiny. She was always going on about London.
This song's called To Find You.
Her identity.
Mm.
But maybe it was just in her head.
I love this though. Going back to what you said earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
Where like when they're constructing a song.
Which is a plane ticket to London.
Like this it's so authentic.
Yeah, it's not like phony.
And you know, I think that's just Carney, like as a musician, is like he knows how important these, not just constructing the song, but like what they're talking about.
Storytelling within the song.
Yeah, totally. And also, like, constructing the music it's important, but like the conversations that happen around it are just as equally important.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, it got stolen.
I mean, I mentioned I like Blinded by the Light earlier. It's super cheesy. It's really fucking cheesy.
I have zero interest in that movie. I tapped out.
I totally get it. I don't care
about Bruce Springsteen.
So. Neither do I. Yeah, neither do I.
I have no reason to watch this movie.
But I really love that. You know, that the kid was using it as a way to, like, you know, just get out of his own situation, which is in a lot of ways what fucking rock and roll is all about.
Yeah. Look how hard I hate that movie because of Bruce Springsteen. It's a music fan crossing over to the movie world. I'm like, fuck it, Bruce. Not fucking watching that shit.
Fuck you, Springsteen. Suck it, bitch.
How about these glory days, you asshole?
How about Blinded by the Shite, which is your music, you fuckwad?
Blinded by the Light, it's not even your song. The only song, I only think of Blinded by the Light. Did he write that? He wrote that, right?
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
But you don't think of him.
No.
Stupid. So stupid.
It's stupid. This is fucking stupid.
That's what you know that. That's why they named that title. So everyone's just like, he didn't write that. That's not Bruce Springsteen's song. And then all of a sudden they look it up like, he did.
I guess so. Yeah.
They should have named it Glory Days. It would have made probably more money. Let's be honest.
Glory Days, the prequel.
Who's this kid? I feel like I know this kid, like in everywhere. The tough guy. Big tough guy.
Oh, the tough guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all known that kid. He was the kid that had like the shaved head when you're like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
Like walked around with sleeveless shirts and shit.
Mm-hmm. Look, he shaved his, buzzed his head wrong again.
He did, yeah.
You saw it?
Yeah. You can see the line.
Yeah. I had an accident like that once.
I think we all have.
Oh, God.
I definitely am.
I was going to, I was shaving my head with like a 3-clip for for prom.
Yeah.
I was like trying to get like the nice 3-clip. And the clip fucking fell off. And I buzzed like 3 inches with no clip on.
Yeah.
So my decision was, do I do the whole head with no
or
clip?
Just the sides or whatever?
It wasn't, dude, it was a lot of, it was no fading this thing. It was either the whole head, go like that with the strip, or do I rock a hat? Like a top
or do rag it or yeah, hat. There you go.
So I had to do a top hat, but then like I was so trying to be funny, I guess, at prom that I just kept showing everybody the fuck up. But look, yeah, I did.
Yeah, you kind of owned it though.
I tried. And a friend that I was with was a buddy of mine. He did a top hat with me, so I didn't feel so stupid.
Wow, that's a fucking true
right?
friend.
Yeah, he's yeah. a good dude.
Was? He's not anymore? Is he dead?
No, we just don't hang out.
No homies anymore, huh?
If we saw each other, we would definitely say hi and hang out and have a drink. But, you know, we all...
And then you'd be like, all right, so next time we hang out, let's... let's top hat it.
Let's do it.
Bring back old times. Also, you would never be like, let's hang out again.
No, never. Mm-mm. Why would I?
When I was in like sixth grade, I think, we used to go to like the Friday night dances at the fucking Park District Hall.
Okay.
And every single time it ended with a fight. Like it would start at like 7 and it'd be done by like 7:30 or so because everyone just went there to fucking throw hands. Hilarious. But in like sixth grade, I was obsessed with Major League and fucking Ricky Vaughn.
Yeah.
The Charlie Sheen character, and he had like the like cut in triangles in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom's
My
mom's friend worked at Fantastic Sam's?
No.
What's that? I don't know if you guys had that, but it's just like a fucking haircuttery or supercuts or the franchise haircut place where you get a fucking $2 haircut and it looks like it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want, and it's not like I could pull it up on my phone or anything. We didn't have phones. So I was like, yeah, he just has, and I guess I was really bad at explaining it.
Yeah.
I'm like, it had these like lines in the back and it was kind of zigzagged and went all the way down. And like, it took like 3 girls to figure it out and it looked god awful. It was fucking horrible. They weren't even like straight lines. They were like all fucking,
oh my God,
out, all curved out. And I can pull this off.
Yeah, I got
like,
this.
I think I can pull this off.
I went
to the dance and everybody made fun of me. They're like, what the fuck is on your head? Because at that time, like, people were doing like the 3 lines on the side of the head.
Yeah.
You know that shit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or like they do like the shaved line going like connecting all the way around like the fucking like the crown of your head.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do fucking Major League style.
Yeah.
And then I realized, like, I'm the only one obsessed with this movie. Nobody fucking gives a shit. Because I was just obsessed with movies back then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so fucking embarrassing.
Nah.
Oh, it's fucking horrible.
It's not going
I remember one of my cousins. We used to go to the fucking Park District pool all the time. And his mom... was my mom's friend that worked at Fantastic Sam's. So she, you know, this was 89, dude. Uh-huh. 89. And this is how I know.
Yeah.
Batman was huge.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how coveted was a Batman fucking t-shirt back then?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Everyone wanted a fucking Batman t-shirt. Just the logo, black t-shirt. Fuck yeah.
People were getting that fucking shaved in their heads. Is that where you're going?
They got him shaved in their heads. He had it bleached into his head. And he was like, so if I was like 9, I was like 9, he had to be like 7.
Oh my God. He's badass.
Yeah, and he was fucking, he was embarrassed.
Oh, okay.
because everyone was just looking at his head, telling him to turn around, and then he started to get super self-conscious.
Ah, oh, poor bastard.
Nah, fuck.
Oh, this song. This song's great.
Turn this up a little.
Yeah. It's cutting in and out. Like your guitar was earlier.
Guitar.
What?
What?
It's cutting in and out.
I heard you.
I thought you kept saying what? You were raised. Roller skates, got blue. This is a good tune. We're in the back seat. Sweater looks itchy.
Ah, yep. First girl I ever felt up had a shirt that was like that. I just remember it being so soft, and her sweater was too. You know what I'm saying?
Her sweater was hairy, and so was she.
Well,
I didn't mean up there. I mean, I didn't mean down there. I meant up there. I thought you meant hairy nips.
I'll tell you another story up there. Oh, she fucking loves this song.
How could you not? I'm crying.
Dry it up. About to change. So Sing Street is playing up until November 8th.
Oh,
when on Broadway.
When are you coming to Jersey? December, was it?
I was hoping around the end of November.
Oh, so maybe to we December.
Catch this. Yeah, because you know, my kid's birthday is the 15th. She'll be 21.
Maybe we can go catch this.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. It's not these kids, though. It's going to be some... over actors, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, some over actors. Mom.
So if you saw, I don't know if you saw, it's a little late now, but the drummer's got like a square of like tape underneath the cymbals. So that like cuts out the sound if he hits them like real hard. Like you don't even hear him. And that's like when you shoot a music video or, well, basically because you're shooting a music video and you need to hear playback. So if he hits the cymbals, there's going to be zero sound if he hits them because of that square. And I think Dave Grohl had the square under his cymbals for the Smells Like Teen Spirit video.
Oh, you're totally right. Yeah, I remember because I was obsessed with that fucking video. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why. So because if he hits them as hard, they'll still move, but there'll be zero sound.
Mm.
So there's a little, and then another thing you could do is double up the cymbals. If you have like the same size, you just put two there.
Oh, okay.
And you can hit them. It's a little harder for them to sway, but it'll be no sound for that too. So
and they probably don't ring as long or as loud.
With the tape, you don't really hear it at all. You'll just hear like, that's it.
Gotcha.
Look at this guy, this redhead. I'm surprised it's not wasn't the other kid, the other bully.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Fuck!
This guy's gonna get arrested.
This is very much a Whiplash moment, like the end of Whiplash, where you're just like, "Fuck off." It's one of my favorite moments in modern movies is him going, "Fuck you."
Yeah. Right. Ugh. I gotta piss so bad. I don't want to leave.
So do I. Oh shit! We got another 14 minutes.
You want to go and we'll take turns.
You go. You go, and then I'll hold the fort.
All right. I love brown shoes.
See, I just love the arc of this character, like getting confidence to not only sing a song, write songs, sing it for other people in your band, but then to play them out in front of other people. Like, this is not the same kid in the beginning of the movie. Also, just an ingenious fucking method right here. With the face of the priest, or as they call him, the prince. Also, he wouldn't be singing like that. It'd be like,
all right.
I was just saying how, like, this kid is not the same kid who started this movie. Like, his confidence is at, like, peak
roof.
Levels. Like, it's one thing to start writing your own songs and then playing it for people in your band, but then playing it for other people is, like, another whole level of, like,
absolutely.
Confidence. You know?
Is it the girl?
And the Goyle?
It's the girl, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Once you get the girl that you like to like you, you could do anything, right?
Mm-hmm. And then this ingenious method of, like, throwing the priest face
masks.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just killing. He's a rock star right here, right?
Yeah, he totally is, man. He totally is.
You gonna go?
Oh, shit, yeah. Totally forgot. I'm just into this movie right now.
I know. Oh, I love that she's there, man. Na 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 na. If you haven't, if you're a listener out there and haven't listened to the soundtrack, definitely listen to the soundtrack from top to bottom with these songs, because they're so great.
Think straight.
So,
what did I miss?
They just came to the brother's room. He's like, please give me a lift to granddad's boat because we're going to go to England. And then
yes.
You realize,
yes.
Like, how awesome it would have been if the brother showed up, though.
Yeah.
To
yep.
see him play, right? Because if it wasn't for him and all his influences.
Mm-hmm. But he's got to support him now.
Yeah. Now, I read something really great, and I want to say, I don't know if it was in the, let me see if I can find it. Oh, here it is. Here it is. John Carney on the ending. This is on IMDb, so whether it's true or not. He says, well, I don't see it just as a happy romantic ending. I think that's the tone of the piece, but I think it's more like they're setting off together. That's true, but I wouldn't say that's some huge relationship that's going to last forever. They're kids. I sort of hope the scene at the end would look like a little fantasy sequence. You're supposed to wonder where the reality ends and the pop video begins. But people are actually taking it very seriously, and people are presuming it's fully real, which is interesting, but that wasn't the intention.
Yeah, I mean, I totally picked that up. Did you? I picked up what fucking Carney was putting down for sure. Because I was just so enthralled in this movie. I'm like, right fucking there.
I mean, I would have loved it if they really set sail together. And
yeah.
I'm a sucker for that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm a sucker for ambiguity.
You are.
Yeah, I totally am. Because, I mean, a lot of times that's life, you know? You just don't ever fucking know sometimes.
No, I know. But, you know, it's their job to write a story. Just write an ending, the middle, and a beginning. Not in that order. Or some people do. You feel bad for the brother. You love him. You respect him. you say, I wish this guy was my brother. But at the end of the day, when you take the realism factor of it, of like, he's not doing anything. That,
yeah.
Not that he becomes the loser. You feel bad for him. You know, you're not.
I really think it's all perspective, though. I think it's like, you know, Connor sees him as a fucking, as a hero.
Absolutely.
But then, like, his parents don't fucking see this kid as a hero.
No, and he doesn't. He doesn't think of himself as one.
No, totally. Absolutely.
There's only one person, and besides the audience, obviously, we love him. But
he's very much like, what's his name's older sister in Almost Famous.
Oh, right,
you know,
on.
With all the albums.
Absolutely.
And everything. Like, very, very similar.
So you're saying those two should have a movie together where they're married?
I would love that.
A crossover.
Yeah, Almost Sing Street. Let's do it.
That's fantastic. All right, so here's Adam Levine's track.
Oh, let's hear it. Let's see. So clear, coming in light. He actually has best of... this is fucking escaped my mind. Beatles song. If I fell. If I fell in love. That song is so incredibly fucking hard to sing as just one person, because you're like, am I Paul? Am I fucking John? Am I George? I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, the Beatles were absolutely fucking brilliant on was their fucking three-part harmonies.
Absolutely.
And they were so young to be able to figure that out, you know?
Nailing it. Like,
mm-hmm. And all that came from was just like their own individual personalities.
Yeah.
You know, like, Paul would be high and bright, and, you know, fucking Lennon definitely had more of the
eclectic,
more minor keys in the harmonies.
Yeah.
Like, he would go that way. And then George was just like the kind of, not so much middle of the road, but like definitely complemented more of the middle part harmony.
Yeah. He was the straight guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Adam Levine does a fucking phenomenal cover of that.
He's a great singer, man.
Yeah, he is.
Can't deny that. And he can fucking play the guitar like a son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Fucking. Yeah, my wife loves him. God damn it. She said that on the set of Begin Again, because she was in that. You saw it, right? You said
yeah,
you saw
yeah,
it? Yeah. So in that last concert where Adam Levine is playing,
yeah,
like something happened with, like, in between takes, or there was a production issue or something like that. And she said that he just grabbed a guitar and just fucking, like, basically played a free concert for people.
It's awesome.
That's for cool. Like a half hour. It's just incredible, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
awesome.
Just what a fucking showman. Yeah, but this song sucks. You're right.
They really didn't even need this whole on the water. You could have just seen
I disagree. I think it totally makes so much sense.
I just like I would have loved to end it with the brother just going crazy and then seeing the boat in the distance. Like, I could see it just ending like that.
Oh, okay. I
you
see.
Know,
yeah.
Really, like
yep.
You see them on the
yeah,
boat.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
You don't totally. Need to see them like almost get into hit with another boat with like all the, you know, rough waters and stuff. Like, I love the brother's reaction the most, and I would love to end on that note.
Yeah, I mean, that was a perfect like postscript too for Brothers Everywhere, right?
Yeah.
But like, he's so proud of his younger brother, and then that last shot to me. I know you don't like the metaphors, but that last shot to me yeah. is just like, this entire movie has been leading up to him taking control of his own life and doing what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And not compromising.
Yeah, well, that's just him getting on the boat and, you know, and taking off.
Mm-hmm.
I love that movie so much.
Ah, oh, it's so fucking good, man.
So good. Like, I could watch that again right now.
Same.
It's the music too, man. Like, what if it was like a shitty soundtrack? Would we have liked the movie that much? I think every song.
It's weird because I was like, fuck. Like, you will tap. You have your finger hovered over the tap out button in
no,
music.
No, I do
too.
Not.
No, you don't. No, you don't. That's unfair to say. But like, I can never really pinpoint your taste in music. A lot of the times, because you, and that's it's a testament to like.
But I don't know
you,
either.
You listening to a lot of stuff, you know?
I do listen to a lot of stuff, and I don't know what I'm gonna like. I will give. Like I'm fair with movies, TV, and music, but mm-hmm. I'm not gonna. It's hard to say because I'm not gonna listen to a fucking whole album of a band I've never heard before in my
life.
No,
that's yeah. I hear that.
That doesn't make any sense. But if there's like a band out there, I kind of know their stuff. Oh, they have a new single. I'll check out the new single, maybe to see where they are in their career and maybe like what kind of, you know, tech they're throwing in there. You know, maybe they are changing genres or cross genreing or whatever. And I'm like, this is not for me.
Damn, think so.
Like, I'll give everything a shot, like I will with TV and movies, mm-hmm. but I'll tap out of a TV show. In, let's say it's like a 44-minute episode, I will tap out at the half-hour mark or just finish the episode just to see where that cliffhanger is or what, you know, what the, you know, the, yeah, like the cliffhanger is for episode two.
Yeah.
I'll tap out more on that than I will for, let's say, a two-hour movie in a way. I'll finish like a shitty horror movie that's straight to Netflix before I finish a popular television show.
Yeah,
I don't know. It.
I don't understand that either.
I don't know. I think I know. Listen, this movie's an hour and a half, hour 40, maybe 2 hours, and then it's done. If I stick with this 44-minute show that has 10 episodes, and I don't like 3 out of the 4 main characters, what the fuck is the point?
Yeah, what's the point? No, I totally get that. I mean, because you're also looking at, holy fuck, it's an hour out. These are hour episodes for 10 episodes a season. Like, that is, you're looking at the future time commitment too.
Absolutely.
Why would I commit so much fucking time if I don't like it to begin with?
The time is the last thing that goes into the equation. It's like, do I like this story? Do I like these characters? How long is this fucking season? Right?
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to. Is the story good? No. Do I like any of the characters? No. It's 12 episodes an hour piece. Absolutely not. Then you fucking hit the tap out button.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, I give everything a fair shot. I do. But I guess I'm tough when it comes to, I'm just looking at it as like, okay, I'm a production company. You're bringing me the first episode, the pilot. We just gave you $150,000 to make a pilot episode, right? Because that's what they do. They base it on the pilot season. So if you can't convince me that this season is going to be great based on characters and story, well, why am I going to sit around for the whole season for? This is another show. This isn't Sing Street.
Might have to do a longer Monday morning explanations about tapping out. Your philosophy. The philosophy of tapping out with Pete MC could be a new episode.
It's possible. I would have to pregame first so I could really get going here. You know, rev my engines. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to drive it like I stole it, you know?
What?
Ow! Did you see what I did?
Yeah, it is gay.
Did you see what I did? Well, thank you everyone for listening or watching with us. I hope you did, because Sing Street is a great movie. Great songs. If you're a musician, if you're not, I think it's just a coming of age, a family drama in a way. They don't harp on it too much, but brotherly love. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a sister growing up, and I could still relate to this movie. And Alex, thank you for sitting down with me for an hour and 50.
Dude, it's a pleasure. I mean, this is a movie that both you and I have been huge fans of for, the past 4 years since it came out. And,
yeah,
you know, this is a long time jizzing. So it was great to finally do it.
Yeah, and you and Law love this, so those are, you guys are the top dogs. So if anyone out there has not seen this, well, you've seen it by now. You're not going, oh, I should watch this.
By the end of our commentary? Actually, everything these guys are saying, I should fucking watch this movie.
You know what? The little clips I heard of the soundtrack when Alex turned up the TV, I think I'm going to watch this now.
Oh, I like that when it wasn't breaking up. That was amazing.
When they were talking about Joe Jackson and what song Steppin' Out was in. I think I'm going to watch this now. Oh, shit. Great. Well, that's going to do it for us here on BingeMedia.net for the Sing Street commentary. Stay tuned. There's so much stuff on the network. It's unbelievable. Absolutely. If I go through it now, that's like another show.
We can't do that. We can't afford another show.
But stay tuned for some more commentaries by me. Stay tuned for BingeCast with Alex and Movie Homeworks. I think we got some Movie Homeworks coming up to time date this.
Oh, that's right.
We already time dated this saying it's the 4-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So thank you, Alex. Thank you, everyone, for listening to subscribe, and go listen to the soundtrack and buy the DVD. Buy it.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, man. Buy it. See you later.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network at BingeMedia.net. Support the show by donating on Patreon at patreon.com/BingeMedia. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I didn't stop giving hand jobs because I was good at it.
Nope.
I stopped giving hand jobs because I was the best at it.
What?